Rockers in Recovery Media is dedicated to carrying the message of addiction recovery through music, news, events, and festivals taking place within and not limited to the clean and sober community.
Hey, John Hollis with Rockers in Recovery. Thanks for tuning in tonight and being a part of Rockers in Recovery. If you check us out at rockersinrecovery.com, it gives you a whole lot of information on what we're doing and how we do it. Rockers in Recovery is a media company, and we do all kinds of different things in media. We, of course, do shows like this on our podcast. We also have our own radio station at rockersinrecovery.com. You can click on the radio station interface and engage 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, just by clicking the Listen Live button on the right-hand side on rockersinrecovery.com. We also do concerts and festivals and other things across the country. We're doing our last one in South Florida. It's going to be at the 101 Club, and we're looking forward to going on down to the 101 Club, and that's in Pompano Beach, and we're going to have a two-day extravaganza. The meet and greet is going to be on November 10th, and the festival will be on November 11th. If you want more information on that, you can go to rockersinrecovery.com, and you can click on the event tab on the navigation buttons up top, and it'll give you all the information, who's going to be there, what we're going to be doing, and how we're going to be doing it. You can also find us at Facebook, Rockers in Recovery at Facebook, and you can click on the events there and see all kinds of information there, too. Of course, we look forward to our shows on the air, and we also, of course, look forward to putting out blogs and different information that happens on a daily basis and news and across the globe, and you can find that at Rockers in Recovery on Facebook, and you can also find some of that at rockersinrecovery.com by clicking on the blogs. Look forward to having you visit the site. Tonight we got a pretty cool show. We have, of course, treatment and recovery, and the recovery aspect has to come first, and we have a great guy on tonight, Mike DeMasi. Mike is somebody that I've had the honor of meeting a couple of years ago. He traveled to Maine with us for a festival that we did up there, but most importantly, he was able to show me over the last few years what recovery really looks like. Great guy, and he puts a face on recovery, and he does that on a daily basis, and we'll bring him on the line and talk to him. Mike, how you doing tonight?
Good, John. How's it going?
Good, man. So great, Mike, great. Where did it all begin? How did recovery begin for you? And, when did you finally get to the point where you said, I'm done?
For me, it was after 13 years of active addiction. And, looking back, in the beginning of those 13 years, I wouldn't have thought it was active addiction, But at the end, it was an emotional bottom. It was a feeling that, besides all the consequences, loss of relationship, loss of a normal life, it was that emotional pain that I just felt pretty much disgusted with myself, and I think that's what really made the difference for me.
Did you get to a point, because I know for myself, I got to a point where I was just like, this is insane. I'm hurting everybody around me. Everybody that comes in contact with me in active addiction ends up affected one way or another. Loved ones, family members, mom, dad, sisters, brothers, aunts, uncles, all of that. Did you see that at that point, or was that something that came later after you got clean?
Oh yeah, and that's definitely a huge part of it. Unfortunately for me, that was my normal life. So when I was about 9 days, I'm coming up on 5 years, October 29th, and my birthday is November 7th. So, right around that time in 2012, having broken relationships and inconsistency in my life was just normal. So that was a big eye-opener when I came to realize that, and I said, I can't do this anymore,
So what was the first step for you? What did you do? Did you just say, you called a friend, you called a loved one? How did it begin for you when you said, I want help? Where did you go next?
Well, for me, I've been exposed to, you know, it's crazy because I went to my first AA meeting when I was 16. I was exposed to my first treatment and more in-depth recovery when I was 17, 18. So I already knew what the solution was. And I don't know, it was a collaboration of things, you know. It was a relationship, it was a job, it was my mother, it was my brother, it was my father. And in the back of my mind, I've seen it work for others. So I'm not, I don't really know how to answer that. It was just kind of going back to maybe just doing what I've done and going into it with an open mind and acting like this may be like a different experience for me, you know?
Did you find that there was a lot of fear and anxiety? I mean, because as we're talking, you know, something, there might be a newcomer out there listening right now or somebody that is on the fence and might want to make a decision to move forward in their recovery, however that may be, you know. So if you were talking to that person, what would you say to them?
If I was talking to that person, whether that be a newcomer or somebody like myself who took multiple attempts before it actually stuck for a nice amount of time, would be that, you know, the hardest thing to do is to just listen to other people and trust that maybe this person has the best, you know, these people that we come across in our journey of trying to get better really do have the best interest in heart. I mean, more than less, you know, and trusting that maybe, you know, my decisions, I know, always led me back to needing help again. And if you do your research and these people check out that you're researching and reaching out to help, that maybe, you know, rely on them and take some advice.
Good stuff, man. Where do you find yourself today? I mean, where's your recovery today? What do you do to maintain that spiritual axiom that gets you through each day? What do you do?
Five things. It was told to me in 2010, and if I would have just stuck that out, I wouldn't have. It was a good thing, but it was a bad thing, right? So five things the guy in New York told me, my old sponsor. If I pray every morning, I call my sponsor, I read some literature, I make a meeting or help someone else, and I pray at night. You know, those are five things that I do on a daily basis, and it keeps me connected. And that's what it's all about. It's about doing this thing on a daily basis, because when I relapsed last, prior to this last journey in recovery, it was months after I stopped doing my maintenance, you know. So it's important that I continue to do that on a daily basis, regardless how I feel.
Do you find, you know, as somebody that came from, you know, you started out, as you said, you know, 16, 17-year-old kid, you weren't ready yet when you started. And there is a stigma not only against addiction from the regular community, but if you are in the rooms and you relapse, people tend to have a stigma against you there too. So how did you feel now where you're starting to help other people that might be a chronic relapser themselves? They might be somebody that was struggling and not having the ability to commit at that time. Isn't it? How do you feel working with somebody like that now?
So as a professional, I keep my recovery and my career separate. So I don't ever count anybody out, you know. When somebody calls me, I have a list of people that I've helped numerous times. Eventually, I ask them to start reaching out to somebody else, because there's not much more I can offer that person, and I'm not just going to watch somebody repeat the same thing. But when I went to treatment in 2012, the therapist looked across at me and said, I don't even know if I could help you. You've been everywhere. What's going to be different this time? And I was the underdog. So I believe that this can happen and this can work for anybody, and I think everybody is worth as many shots as it takes to get better, because that's what it's all about. I've had numerous shots, you know. But if I'm continuously seeing the same person come across my path, I'm going to put them in touch with somebody different, because there's a lot of options out there. And I don't know what it was for me that clicked this last time, but it wasn't doing the same thing over and over again, you know.
Good stuff. So you're coming up on 5 years, is that correct, or 6 years?
October 29th, God willing.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing, man. Congratulations on that. And I understand that you also have been over the last 3 years, as you just alluded to, that you have some treatment industry experience where you've worked with different organizations to help people into the recovery process. You are working at a detox center at Amethyst Recovery Center. Their detox. Can you tell us a little bit about that and, you know, what you do there?
Yeah, so I'm the director of community outreach. You know, I came on January 1 of 2017, and you know, it's a beautiful, brand new, state of the art detox res, 20 beds for both, 20 detox beds, 20 res, and pretty much what my job to do is on a daily basis is to work with clinical on our end. Make sure the clients are doing what they need to do as far as following through with their program and working with other professionals in the community, whether that's advocacy groups, other treatment providers, hospitals, private therapists, and just letting people know that, you know, we have availability and we have the opportunity to help somebody. And with what our staff offers, all the BHCs, we always have 4 BHCs on. And, you know, they're personally in recovery with well over a year. So they're able to really get in there and be more of a peer support aspect for the client, as well as a staff member. You know, our clinicians, our nurses, I mean, everybody is great, and we offer stellar services.
And you can check out what Mike is talking about by going to amethystrecovery.org. That's amethystrecovery.org. You can also give them a call at 877-957-6237. And you can click on where it says treatment, and it will actually talk to you about medical detoxification, where is what Mike's doing over there. And, of course, Mike, as we're talking and we're going, you know, through the process here, we have a couple of minutes left. If you could share, you know, your hope with a loved one that might be struggling with somebody like, you know, me and you used to be, what would you say to them for them to get help for a loved one?
For a loved one, you know, that's I've actually had the ability to help one of my loved ones out, and it was actually more difficult than typically just helping somebody random that calls out or reaches out to me. And what I would do is first and foremost, it's about setting boundaries and expectations. And there's a fine line between enabling and supporting. And you know, there's a various, all of our staff are like recovery coaches or support specialists who are able to help with that intervention process. And I would just say to really set a firm foundation on what you need to do to encourage and cut off at the same time, to maybe delay that addiction process from just continuing, and get involved in a family group. Treatment centers that don't involve family groups or without that family component, it seemed to be doomed. I mean, there's a long road, and for the loved one, there's a recovery process for you as well. Pretty much starts with the family program once that person is in somewhere that they're getting treatment, and then a personal recovery such as Al-Anon or Nar-Anon or something like that. Because I know for my mother, you know, I wasn't the only one suffering, and my brother and my father, and they've had their own journey in the past 5 years as I had mine. So that's really, I mean, it goes way more into that, but that's definitely a good start.
You know, Mike, we appreciate you being on. I also want to thank, of course, your continued support, and Sam's the best, continued support to be able to get our message out and the Rockers in Recovery radio shows and all of our media content and all of those things. that we do and the upcoming events that we do. You guys have been a huge supporter of all of that, and we really, really appreciate Amethyst and, you know, Sam and yourself for supporting that. We look forward to seeing you at the event on November 11th.
Absolutely. We appreciate you too, John. You have a good night.
All right, brother. Thanks for calling in, and we'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
All right. All right, guys, there you go. Mike's a great guy, and, of course, great message of hope. You know, where it begins, you know, I've gone through my ups and downs, and, you know, listen, the end result is that we get to be able to carry a message of hope, and we get to be able to do that in a way that, you know, is personalized, and it's between us and our higher power sometimes, and God utilizes us, I believe, in certain ways that might be totally different than somebody else. And how we transmit that. So, you know, something, loving day. Got a good friend of mine on the air right now. His name is Robert Gluck. Robert is an attorney, and he does Marchman Act. He does personal injury. He does defense attorney or defense, criminal defense. Robert's a great guy. And not only is he a great attorney, but he is a great musician follower. Hey, Robert, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing just fine, John. How are you?
Good, man. So hey, listen, let's start this out appropriately. What was the last band you seen?
The last show that I saw was John Mayer playing with Dead & Company in New York City.
Nice.
And it was a great show. John Mayer has mastered the artistry of the deceased and love Jerry Garcia and has really come on with the band, and they've recreated themselves with a bunch of 70-year-olds plus John Mayer.
Yeah.
They sound amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing. I watched some of the live stuff that they've done, and he is amazing. And you know something, did you see that interview with him? And he was talking about how he gets on stage and he feels like the spirit of Jerry's with him. Did you see that?
No, I missed it.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be surprised. He really, really studied. Where was that?
It was in New York City or, yeah, it was New York City or it was in Connecticut. I think they did something in Connecticut too.
Yeah, well, he does have the spirit of Jerry in him.
Yeah. Yeah, it's what
that's the last bit of music that I saw. And thank God, on a sad note, you know, my daughter almost just missed being at that music festival in Las Vegas. God rest the soul of all those people, that terrible tragedy. But there was a music festival the week before she was at in Vegas, and that crazy shooter was planning on attacking that festival, but he couldn't get a hotel room.
Wow.
So he ended up
waiting
a week.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and then he was also looking at another music festival, looking at some. Yeah, so it's crazy. That's gun control, a whole other issue, not to be covered tonight.
Yeah, well, you know, talking about current events, you know, in the whole news thing, what do you think about the whistleblower, Joe?
So this is the case of the head of the DEA and Distribution Enforcement Division that got chased out of office by Congressman Marino, right? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, it's the one.
Yeah, so that's a whole crazy story. So it turns out that, from what I understand, the distributors of these drugs knew that they were distributing enough pain medication to a pharmacy, for example, in a town that had a population of 2,500, they were distributing enough pain meds for a town of 3 million. And these distributors knew it. And they were basically licensed drug dealers. And, and the chain drug stores are all involved. And all of their money corrupted Congress. And they chased out the head enforcer for no reason other than he was too good at his job. And then all the people that worked in the DEA, all the lawyers, all the agency, all took jobs in the drug industry. And then they helped persuade the legislatures to write the law that changed everything. So that's what's going on. And then the crazy thing is the Congressman Marino gets appointed drug czar for a day. after all that happened. For a day. So they were the cause of the crisis that we had here in South Florida. These distributors that were being allowed to distribute to these clinics in West Palm Beach and Fort Lauderdale and Miami, the OxyContin, how many hundreds of thousands of pills, and nobody questioned it. So the law that they had, they passed this law that basically made it impossible to prosecute the distributor. So they made themselves immune from prosecution in this law that's hopefully going to get, and it was thrown into a bill at the very last second, and it was just a tragedy, and that's what's caused all these deaths, because if you cut off the source of the pills, it wouldn't have happened.
You get 144 people a day that are dying now from opioid overdoses. You know, when you take this big number of 144 a day, I mean, it's more than car accidents, it's more than gun violence, it's more than, I mean, listen, it's a staggering, staggering number. And when you look back over the history of this and you start to look at, you know, the beginning of the whole 60 Minutes interview, they started out with, you know, Big Pharma saying, you know, Big Pharma saying, hey, listen, this is fine. There's nothing wrong with it. It's non-addictive. Everything's going to be okay. It is the new wonder drug, and there's no addictive side effects.
Yeah, you know, from 2001, that's exactly what they
said. Exactly. You know, it's insane, man. It's insane.
But now that they shut off the flow, after all of this has gone on, and the distributors aren't distributing millions of pills to these little pharmacies in Arkansas, has it gotten better? I don't know.
No, it has not. It's gotten worse because now people are going to the black market and going to heroin.
That's the difference, because it forced it shut off that valve. People are searching for the next best thing. And the next best thing that's cheaper. And that's what a lot of these folks that we end up doing marchment acts on are doing it for that reason. It's cheaper than the pills, and they can't get the pills anymore.
And here's the thing that
are there still people that are addicted to the pills, or are we mostly dealing with heroin and fentanyl here?
The opioid crisis is still alive and well, and there's still, you know, pill mills out there that are still handing out the prescriptions, and the doctors are handing out the prescriptions in the pharmacies. Now, are they making changes? Absolutely. Is it like the wild, wild west? It absolutely is, in my opinion. You know, so I mean, here's the reality. You go through this and you see. I mean, every day, Robert, I go online and I'm looking and I see loved one after loved one after loved one posting, "Hey, I lost my son. I lost my brother. I lost my daughter. I lost a family member." And what I continuously see in this thread is we did everything that we could possibly do. Now, not a lot of states have the Marchman Act. You can give a brief synopsis on what the Marchman Act is, so that way people understand what their legal obligations are here in the state of Florida to be able to help somebody if they want to.
Well, with all the political stuff we were just talking about, what we're left with is people either are going to get the pills or they're going to get to the heroin. But either way, they're going to be addicted and they're going to need help. So what the Marchman Act does, it allows a family member to, and it's only in Florida, not in any other state, unfortunately, but Hal S. Marchman got this law passed in Florida. And it says that if someone's unable to handle their own affairs due to a drug addiction or alcohol, not mental health, but drugs or alcohol only. And that becomes an issue when people are dual diagnosed. But if as a result of a drug or alcohol addiction, they're unable to handle their own affairs, a family member can hire me. I step in, we bring them in front of a judge, we force them into a detox, we force them into treatment, and we save a life, hopefully. And the key is, it does go before a judge, and we do have to show that there's good cause to believe that they're unable to handle their own affairs, and it's usually pretty easy. These folks are pretty far gone. By the time their family member comes to me for help, it's pretty obvious as soon as the judge gets a look at them that they've got an issue and that they need detox and treatment. And most of the time they concede it. As soon as they see on there, ready to litigate that we have the hearing, we're ready to go, they usually just say, okay, I'll go to treatment. And that's what we do. We try and save lives one case at a time. But a lot of people can't afford to hire me is the sad thing. But I'm happy to help those that can and those that can't. I give them free advice. I tell them how to get the package from any clerk's office in all counties in Florida. And they can, you know, muddle their way through it with the help of the clerk or hire a lawyer to do it easily, but easier. But in any event, the ultimate goal is to get in front of a judge and force them into treatment if they won't go voluntarily.
Hmm. On the that being said, that there is, so that way people know, as we're talking right now, there is an option to be able to help legally here in the state of Florida. If you have a loved one that's suffering, you can give them help. You can go to Robert, give them your email or your website so that way they know where to go.
Well, it's robertgluck.com. That's my name, like good luck. Robertgluck.com, and my or they can call the office at 877-GLUCK-LAW, or they can look online on the internet. Robert Gluck, my offices are in Plantation and in Naples. There's a handful of lawyers that do Marchman Acts, not very many. Some charge significantly higher fees than my firm does, but many folks can't even afford my fees, and I understand that. So if anyone has an issue with a loved one that's in need of treatment under the Marchman Act, I'll certainly tell you what you need to do if you can't hire me. And that's a public service that I end up giving to 90% of the people that call. But I understand why. They spent so much money on treatment for these people over the years, and these are the parents that have spent their retirement money to keep their kids alive, and it's sad. I understand.
The other aspect of this too is that everybody across the board, one time or another, always at the end. It might not be so much at the beginning of active addiction, but I know at the end of active addiction, everybody has consequences, and some of them are criminal. And one of the things that I want people to understand is that Robert has been around that arena for many, many years and started the very first drug court in South Florida in Miami, and is able to help in that way too. See, I think that if you have somebody that can navigate the system, you can also get help that way too. If you get in front of the right judge on a criminal matter, and you know it's a possession charge and you want treatment, there's ways to be able to work that out through the court systems too. Is that correct, Robert?
Right, because almost there's the same hammer that you want to have over someone's head in a criminal case if they got arrested for a charge, that the punishment might be some sort of probation with treatment for a drug addiction. That the power of that is if they violate or they don't comply with treatment, they could go to jail. So you're hoping as the criminal defense lawyer, if they're guilty of the crime and the best thing to do or the right thing to do for them legally is to negotiate a plea and get them on probation with treatment, you hope that the treatment will, with the threat of jail if they violate, will force them to comply. Same effect with the Marchman Act. If they don't comply with the Marchman Act, you have a judge issue a rule to show cause and have them held in contempt of court, and they would go to jail for violating the Marchman Act order to stay in treatment. So you can, without having to wait for them to get arrested or end in jail, you could do the Marchman Act, which is almost a mirror image of drug court without the criminal case.
Ah, okay. That's very cool.
What it is. Yeah,
very cool.
I could do both, right. And if they get arrested, I can represent the family. The family can hire me to represent their loved one, and then if it's appropriate, treatment can go through the criminal case. And then, of course, John, when I'm not doing Marchman Act cases and saving people's lives, I'm helping people that get rear-ended on their way to their Marchman Act lawyer's office, and then I help them with their personal injury case in addition to everything else. Because I want to be a full-service law firm.
Listen, and here's the other thing. If you know, just to keep everybody up to date on current events, Robert now believes in the power of prayer.
Yes, I do. I believe in the power of prayer because my friend, John Hollis, put in a word with God for me right before I went to trial about a month and a half ago on a case that Travelers Insurance offered $100,000 on. That was an auto accident case. And John knows what happened, because right after I got a jury verdict of $1.2 million, I called John and said, thank you, John, because of your prayer, I won. And I know that was it, because the last thing I did before I started to prepare for the trial is I saw John's post that said that he put in a prayer for me. So whatever God you prayed to, it worked. So that's the guy.
This is good stuff. You know, if you're tuning in, we're talking with attorney Robert Glock. And, you know, here's the cool part. Not only has it turned into a great friendship over the years, and not only was he my criminal defense attorney at one time, but it's turned into a great, great friendship. And, you know, he's been there for myself and Rockers in Recovery and my family, and just a great guy, and highly recommend Robert and his services, but most importantly as a friend. One day at a time, he supported me in a huge way, and, you know, never really publicly said it, but thank you, Robert. You're a great guy.
Thank you, John, and for everything that you've done with Rockers in Recovery and everything you've done for the addiction community to really help everyone and to be a sounding board for people and to be a resource for people, to help people and to find them the place that they need to be over all these years after you've struggled with your own recovery. And you've made a difference in other people's lives, so you've contributed a lot to this community. And I thank you on behalf of my community, because I grew up and was born and raised down here. And you've saved a lot of lives down here helping people.
Well, we appreciate that, man. And, you know, hey, listen, all glory to God. But one of the things I do know is that if you don't put the footwork in, none of that can happen. It's just like yourself. You know what I mean? You go out there, you give back to your community, and it's a footwork. And you take it as it comes, and in the end, you know, we're helping people, and that's what, you know, we're supposed to be doing. That's what it's all about.
Thank you.
So
I agree.
So listen, in the end, we are going to be having us a party, and that's November 10th and 11th, and it's going to be at the Pompano Beach Group, or I'm sorry, the 101 Club in Pompano Beach, and it will be November 10th and 11th, and Robert will be at both events. So come hang out with us. He's going to talk a little bit about what he does, but most importantly, he's there to answer questions. If you have any questions in regards to helping a loved one, he will be there for both nights, or both days.
John,
so you got
I've
November.
Been practicing. I've been practicing. Can I do a cymbal solo? I'd like to do a cymbal
absolutely.
Solo. Absolutely.
Have you seen that commercial? Is that hilarious, that commercial?
Yeah, with the one with the little bell.
Yeah, the triangle.
That's what I was thinking of. The triangle, exactly. I was thinking I could do that with my 877 Gluck Law t-shirt on, but you know, it's a crazy thought. Who would want to see a t-shirt that said 877 Gluck Law?
Oh, my God, that's hilarious, dude. And he's a great comedian, too. He does stand up also. So, hey, listen, again, November 10th and 11th at the 101 Club. Come on out, hang out with us. It's in Pompano Beach, Florida. We got a great, great lineup of bands. And at the end of the night, we're going to have the Rockers in Recovery All-Star Band with special guest Peter Keys from Lynyrd Skynyrd is going to be playing. They're going to do about an hour set. And, you know, but again, all through the day, we got some great rock and roll bands. November 11th, the night before on the 10th, it's really a meet and greet for the community. Anybody in South Florida is welcome. It's free. There's a full sit-down dinner and hangout, and, you know, you can, you know, just kind of listen to what's going on in the community and get some information, maybe to help a loved one. And there's some music from Sobriety Unplugged. So we're looking forward to having both of those events and having Robert there. And if you're tuning in tonight, you want more information, Robert, what's your website again? Just so they know, it's robertglock.com, correct?
Yes, it is. And or they can just Google my name and they'll find my website right away. Or 877 Gluck Law, 24 hours a day. And I do the Marchman Act cases. I do the criminal defense cases. And of course, I do my personal injury cases that help subsidize all the free legal advice I give out on all the Marchman Act cases. So that's my service to the community.
Very cool, man. We appreciate it, Robert, and thank you for being on the show. We look forward to doing more with you and the whole legal aspect and just getting on and talking about the, you know, cool stuff.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the event. I'll see you in a few weeks.
All right, brother. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Robert Gluck, have a great night.
Thanks.
Guys, John Hollis with Rockers in Recovery. Check out rockersinrecovery.com. You know, I want to thank, of course, all of the people that make Rockers in Recovery possible, the media aspect of this. We're going into 2018 very rapidly. It is the 10-year anniversary of Rockers in Recovery. Rockers in Recovery started in 2008. It is going on our 10-year anniversary. We want to thank everybody out there that has supported Rockers in Recovery. We also want to take the time to let you know that through 2018 and moving forward, you know, we put on 29, this will be our 29th musical production since 2011. Rockers in Recovery, 9 times out of 10, puts on these events, and they're free to the community, and we make them open to everybody. And in the end, we make no money. Everybody's like, well, you're making a bunch of money off this. No, there's no money being made on free concerts. And in the end, what we normally do is have, of course, a deficit that is covered by the radio and media aspect of the company, which is Rockers in Recovery Radio and Productions. So that being said, after 29 of them, we feel that moving forward, we really need to concentrate on making Rockers in Recovery media healthy. So that way, maybe one day we can return to doing free stuff for the community and make a difference. And we hope that you tuning in, listening to shows, and coming online for free access to people like Robert and other folks that we can turn you on to, it's going to help you in the long run, or help your family member in the long run, or help the community in the long run. Well, that's the new direction. So please, go to rockersinrecovery.com, and on the right-hand side, you're going to see 2 downloads. One of them is for, of course, both are for the Rockers in Recovery live stream radio station. We ask you please to download and send your friends to download too. You can do it on iPhone. You can do it on Android. Everything is right there. And tune in with us. Hang out with us. Let your friends know about us. And most importantly, have a blessed night. We want to thank everybody for tuning in. And I am going to choose a song tonight from a gentleman that I really, really care about. His name is Paul Wilson. Great friend of mine. And all it really takes is a song that Paul wrote with some friends. So you guys check it out. God bless. It's been a great, great evening. Spending it with my friends. Thanks.
It all came down just like a slow motion crash. Can't remember the details, they all went by so fast. Now I know I made a few mistakes. I guess that's all it really takes. When the work slowed down and things began to slide, started drinking in the day, looking for a place to hide. I came home one night, found my bags outside the door. I guess she didn't want me there no more. I didn't realize how much my life changed on that day. I was watching my whole world slowly slip away. The will is strong until it breaks. I guess that's all it really takes. I did odd jobs and hung out down at the bar. Got wasted every night, sleeping out back in my car. I staggered down late one night, my car was gone. I knew it was time for moving on. Days passed and I learned the way of the streets, where they'll cut you for a buck and take the shoes right off of your feet. But the others were just like me. We all had to live our fate. I guess that's all it really takes. I couldn't understand how I let it all slip away. I missed my old life, missed it more each day. The will is strong until it breaks. I guess that's all it really takes.
Weeks turned into months, but the booze just blurred the time. Panhandling on the corner with my Jesus loves you sign. Someone told me I could change. There were steps I could take. The idea made my soul just ache.
So I went to a meeting, told myself it was just to see. When I heard their stories, I knew they were just like me. I found a place where I felt safe, and that is what it really takes. I'm so glad I realized that I could change my way. Oh, places and people, I had to put them away. A few new friends and one good book, and that is what it really took. A few new friends and one good book. By the grace of God, it took.
Hey, Tim Ryan here with the Man Recovery Foundation. Just got in from Arkansas. Want to let you know, Rockers in Recovery is having a big event November 11th at the 101 Club in Pompano Beach, Florida. Going to have a ton of music, fellowship. I have the opportunity to come down. I get to speak, share a little bit of hope. Really excited about this event. So if you are in the Florida area, Palm Beach down to Miami, Lake Worth, whatever, head to the 101 Club. Starts at 2 in the afternoon, $10 entrance fee. Come on in, share some fellowship. Again, I will be speaking there. Really honored to be able to come in and be a part of this. If you want to follow me, you can check us out on Facebook, From Dope to Hope, or check out our foundation, www.amirf.org, or for my full-time career, I'm a National Outreach Director for Transformations Treatment Center out of Delray Beach. We will also be a sponsor for this event. Look forward to seeing you then. Have a great day.
Rockers in Recovery Radio is based on opinion only and is not meant to treat or diagnose any health or mental health issue of any kind. If you feel you need help for any health-related issues, please contact a physician or mental health professional. The opinions expressed by our guests are not necessarily those of Rockers in Recovery.